Hey everyone, this is Russell. Welcome to the Marketing Secrets Podcast. I hope yesterday you enjoyed part one of three from my presentation at Dream 100 Con. Today, I want to give you part two. So we're going to dive in today into the next section of the presentation. Hope you're taking notes and starting to piece together how this process and how this concept can work inside of your company. With that said, we're going to cue up the intro and then jump right into to part number two of my presentation at Dream 100 Con.
So the big question is this. How are entrepreneurs like us, who didn't cheat and take on venture capital, who are spending money from our own pockets, how do we market in a way that lets us get our products and our services and the things that we believe in out to the world and yet still remain profitable? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Russell Brunson, and welcome to Marketing Secrets.
Okay, now one thing I want to explain, as you're doing this, is these are little landing pages right here. The landing page or the funnel for each of these is going to be a little bit different, right? Because they're different parts in the journey. In fact, Dana, this is the reason why your stuff works really, really good on Dream 100 and sucks on Facebook ads. It's not because the offer doesn't work. It's because right now your offer works really good, like at this phase right here, right? Someone needs traffic, boom, Dream 100. So you have a list of people trying to get traffic. You Dream 100s them, like it's really, really good. But if he's going to come back here to somebody who they don't even know they need traffic, they just got their first website set up and they're trying to figure out how to sell something, like that person needs Dream 100 more than anybody. But if he says Dream 100, like, I don't know what he's even talking about, okay? As you move further out, the person, that they don't understand your language patterns, and so you have to rephrase how you do it. So every single step back in this timeline, my landing page, my funnel has different ways that I explain things, okay? If you read the .com Secrets book, I talk about, there's basically, how many of you guys remember drawing here? There's like hot traffic, there's warm traffic, and there's cold traffic, right? So the hot traffic, like they know this thing. They're like, those people, like the super easy. You just have to like push them over the edge and they're in, right? Like, I know about traffic, I know about everything. Dream 100, sweet, that's more traffic, I'm in. That's hot traffic. And so that's how you speak to people. People down here that are warm, you have to speak to them differently. They don't even know what they don't know. They don't know what they don't have. So you have to speak to them differently. And people that are really cold, you have to speak to them differently, okay? Gene Schwartz, how many of you guys study the old school copywriters? If not, they're the best. Like, all the good stuff's in the old school. So Gene Schwartz, old dead dude who's a genius, he said, he's talking about this concept right here. He said, if your prospect is aware of your product and realizes it can satisfy his desire, your headline starts with the product. Okay, so if he knows about your product, like I was at Funnel Hacking Live, I was on stage, I heard about Dream 100, Dana was there, or I was on a webinar and my buddy introduced me to Dana on this webinar and talked about this thing. Like, they know what the product is. It's really simple. It's just like, hey, you just buy my product, like buy the thing, buy ClickFunnels, right? If someone knows about ClickFunnels, I can just pitch to ClickFunnels, right? Okay, now I move back. If they're not aware of your product, but only the desire itself, your headline starts with the desire. So if I'm here, so here I'm selling the product. Here I'm selling the desire, right? So it's like, I want to grow my company. That's my desire. So if I'm speaking to someone in my world about desire, my headline, my hook, my pitch is not going to be like, you need a funnel, because they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. But if I'm like, I got a way to double your business in like the next 30 days, that's their desire. I'm like, well, what is it? Then I can introduce them to like, well, this really weird thing called a funnel, okay? Who wants to get 10 times more traffic to your website without buying a single Facebook ad, right? That's the desire they have. Now you can transition them into Dream 100, okay? And then you come back here to the cold prospects. If he's not aware of what he really seeks, but is only concerned with the general problem, your headline starts with the problem and crystallizes into a specific need. So here's a problem. So the problem is like, I need somebody to give me money. Okay, that's where traffic comes in, whatever. So this is kind of looking at. Now, one more example. As you're going here, like, With hot traffic, people that are close to the thing, if I walk up, like you guys right now, if I came to you guys and said, hey guys, I figured out a new funnel. This funnel is amazing. I can plug it into any business and it'll add an extra zero to your bottom line. How many of you guys want that funnel right now? Woo. Boom, everyone's in, right? Because you guys are all here in the awareness spectrum. You understand where it's at, okay? So for me and for you guys as a business owner, the first thing you want to do, because this is the biggest problem I have, I'll explain this and people are like, cool, and they start over here. You don't do that, okay? How many of my inner circle members are in here? I tell you guys this all the time, right? Like, the first thing you do is ignore everything and grab the pile of cash that's right there. Just grab it, take it, and then run with it. That's the first step, right? Don't be like, I'll get this in a minute. Let me step over it really quick. And let me try to figure out how to get these cold people. It's like, no, grab the pile of cash first. Like, that's step number one. Okay. So that's the first thing. And so do that until the market runs out and like it's done. And most of your guys' businesses, you can get to multiple millions of dollars a year only grabbing the warm traffic. So focus there, right? Find Dream 100 partners who their list, their customers, their platform understand what the product is, and then you just have to push them over. It's easier to sell, it's more fun, and you get the money fast. As you start growing and scaling, then you have to move this way on the spectrum, okay? So next are warm people, okay? So for example, I could go to, Anissa Holmes is in our inner circle. She's a dentist, dental guru from Jamaica, right? So she's got a bunch of dentists, and what are dentists? They have desire to grow their practice. They have no idea what a funnel is at all, okay? So I can go and create a special landing page for Anissa and for the dentist, and in here talk to them like, hey, how many of you dentists want to actually grow your company? And they're like, oh, we all want to grow. And then Anissa can be like, this is the secret. I don't tell many people about this, but there's this really weird thing that this guy named Russell came up with. It's called a funnel. And I've been using my practice, and they've been amazing. We've grown this huge thing. And then all the dentists are like desiring this funnel. Then they come in, I can explain it to them, and then we can move them towards me, and they'll buy funnels like crazy. Okay? Now the third phase of this now is cold, and the litmus test to figure out if your offer will sell the cold traffic is picture, how many of you guys went to the Mall of America like next door here? That thing is huge, right? So imagine this, you go there during lunchtime, you go to the food court, and there's like 8,000 people running around. You get a chair, you step on top of that chair in the middle of the food court, you stand up and said, hey everybody! And they all stop and look at you like, this is the deal, I got this really cool funnel you can plug into any of your businesses and it'll give you an extra zero at the end of it. How many of you guys want it? Everyone in the food court's like, what is he talking about? Is he selling funnel cakes? Like, did he say funnel cakes? I think he did. That sounds awesome, right? They're not going to make any sense. So if I speak my language patterns to the cold market, it's like that. It's going to completely crash and burn. But if I stand on the chair and I say, how many of you guys want a free money-making website? Everyone's like, oh, and they're freaking out, right? I can get them come over here. They're like, cool. Here's a free money-making website. It's called a funnel. I'm like, what? What's a funnel? And then all of a sudden, I can start moving them up this thing and warm them up, moving from cold to warm to hot. Okay, two of our biggest affiliates right now, all they do is they target cold traffic. And they're doing this. They're on the scene screaming top of their lungs, I'll give you free money-making websites, free money-making websites. And the cold world is standing up and they're going crazy because of it. Okay? So that's what's happening outside of it. But you notice as I go further and further back, my messaging has to change. The landing page changes. The funnel changes. Everything's changing as I'm going this direction. So initially, you're just going to go right here. Then the other side of this, after someone's come in and they bought funnels, then I start thinking, like, what are all the other things someone's going to buy? So if they bought funnels, they may buy traffic, they may buy graphic design, they may buy all the different things that you need after you've got a funnel, right? So start looking at that side. Let me make sure I got my doodle right here. In fact, I will pop it up here. Here's the finished one. So the other side I'm looking at, these are potential Dream 100 partners and things like that. This right here, as someone's come through this world, and if they're not already using my software, my platform, my product, my service, then what I'm doing is I'm doing an opportunity switch, trying to get these people to come backwards and come to me, right? So if you've read the Expert Seekers book, we talk about their three core markets. Stephen Larson calls them the three core desires, which I think is really cool. There's health, there's wealth, and there's relationships, right? And if you look from there, every one of your products and services fall into one of these three, right? If you break down one more thing, then there's a sub-market typically. Just call it your sub-market. And then from there, there's all these different niches that are coming off here, right? So what's typically happening on this side of the value ladder is somebody, boom, they're in my world, they're making money online, they're using funnels, maybe they're using some crappy funnel software like every other product out there on planet Earth, right? So I'm looking at that. So they're in my submarket, and they're using, I don't even know what the name's name, let's say it's 10-minute funnels or something like that, right? They're using another product. So my job then is to have to opportunity switch those people back into my thing, right? Or maybe they're in our world, but they're selling stuff on Amazon. So I can do they understand what funnels are, but they're selling stuff on Amazon. So maybe they're right here. So if I do a Dream 100 with somebody who this is their customer base, they're at this point in the timeline, they're making them on Amazon. The way I present it is going to be differently. Like, hey, Amazon's awesome, but I'm going to show you an opportunity switch. Instead of doing this one right here, switch you to this other opportunity right here. Okay? And so my joint ventures, my Dream 100, all those things are coming from switching them back into my opportunity as opposed to just trying to pitch them on my solution. Okay? So this is, I want to kind of help you guys think about this. This is your customer's journey. And I don't think, I haven't heard too many people talk about this, and very few people think about this. But for you guys, I would be spending time doing this. Okay? Sitting down like, hey, here's my customer. All right, what am I selling? What are they buying before they come to me? What are the things they're buying after me? What is like all those kind of things? And it gives you a good landscape of where you fit in the ecosystem for this person, for their life. Okay? The better you understand your customer, the easier this whole game begins. this whole game becomes. For me, whenever I'm thinking about my dream customer, that person in the middle, if you've heard my story before, when I was 12 years old, I started ordering junk mail like crazy, right? And I was obsessed with it. I'd get all the work at home junk mail to come in. Every single day I'd get like a stack of 20 to 30 letters. And I'd come home from school as like a seventh grader. And my parents would hand me my stack of junk mail. I'd take it in. I start reading it. And so for me, whenever I'm trying to like figure out what my dream customers would want, I picture little 12-year-old Russell. My parents called me Rusty back then. So I'm picturing Rusty sitting on his bed reading this junk mail. And I'd rip it open. I'd read the headline. And someone's like, ugh, and I throw it away. And then the next one, I'm like, oh, whoa, oh my gosh. And if it got me to the point where I was like, I have to have this, and I go and I beg my parents to borrow their credit card, like that's how I knew this was a good offer, right? And so for me, I'm like thinking about myself, 12-year-old Russell sitting in bed, like, would this thing that I'm offering them, would this get them to want to go beg their parents for their credit card? And that's my test, okay? The reason why a lot of you, how many of you guys have bought something from me in the past? Okay, it's because it passed that test. Because I sat there, would 12-year-old Russell buy this? And if I'm like, eh, then we don't sell it. If I'm like, yeah, I would totally go beg my parents for a credit card, that's the test. That's why I get them in, okay? So become obsessed with your dream customer. The more you understand them, the more you understand where they're coming from, where they're going, what their goals are, what they're trying to get away from, where they're trying to go to. The better you understand this about your customer, the better you're going to be able to serve them, be able to buy stuff or sell stuff to them, and also you're going to be able to better understand where in the Dream 100 they fit. Okay. If I'm looking at this, I'm saying, okay, who's my dream 100? All right, I'm going to start here. This is the big pile of cash. Who are the closest partners I have where their customers are easily going to figure it out? So usually my first dream 100 goes from here, right? What's the stuff they have right before they need me, stuff right after they need me? Those are going to be the easiest ones to sell. Then after I saturate that, then I go to the next level. Okay, what are the next two or three levels here of things that are coming before me? So I'm moving more to warm. And what's the next things here? This direction, I start moving out, and I tweak my Dream 100 campaigns to focus on that. And it keeps going out from there. Now, most of you guys, luckily, in most of your businesses, you can make a couple $1 million a year just doing these two here. Okay, but if you want to get to $10 million, you've got to come out to about here. And right now, we'll pass $100 million this year. And right now, we are a continual focus of like going further and further and further out, okay? Because eventually you run out of customers. You've saturated everything. How many of you guys see like 40 to 50 ads of me a day, every single day? Like, I can't show you that many more ads, you guys. Like, I'm trying, but like, it runs out. So eventually you have to keep going further and further out. So I just want to kind of paint that picture so you understand, like, long-term, if you want to keep scaling, that's what it's about. It's getting better at language patterns this way, getting better at teaching to the warm and to the cold, okay? But don't stop. Or don't skip that. Get the big pile of money first before you shift to the next one and move out from there. Make sense? Yeah. All right. Sweet. Yeah. Okay. All right. So now that you've got this vision of like who is my dream customer, then the next question we ask ourselves is who has my dream customer? Okay. And this is where in my mind the Dream 100 picks up. Who has my dream customer, okay? All right, so the first phase, and Dana talked about this yesterday, the first phase in this is I need to, first off, build out a list. How many of you guys have built a list of your dream 100? How many of you guys haven't yet? What are you doing here? All right, this is like your first thing on the plane ride home. You should be doing this, okay? You need to actually build your list, which means sit down with a piece of paper and write out your list, okay? And some of you guys have like, well, how do I find my list? How do I know who my Dream 100 partners are? I get that all the time. Like, I just don't know how to find it or figure it out. Like, how do I find these people? And if you have to ask that question, it means you're not obsessed enough about this guy right here or girl. Okay? When you become obsessed with your dream customer, you put yourself in their spot, right? Like, for me, when I'm thinking about things, I'm like, okay, if I was my dream customer, I went to Google, what would I be searching for? And how would I say it? I'd be searching for this phrase, and start searching, right? And when I start searching, guess what starts popping up? All these options start popping up, both sides of it, right? It's like, go to the pages, I subscribe to the email list, I go to the podcast, I subscribe, like, I'm becoming, like, insane. I need to get a really good vision of the ecosystem that already exists, okay? Everyone in your markets, there's already an ecosystem that exists. Don't think you're coming and inventing something new. There is an existing ecosystem, okay? If you read the Dream 100 book, do you have the Dream 100 book here? Does anybody have a book? Okay. This is key. Some of you guys thought I was saying, oh yeah, this is Russell uses this for traffic. But it's more than that. Like, listen to what I said in the forward here. Okay, as a CEO and co-founder of the fastest growing blah, 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 it's been difficult to narrow down one thing that's really propelled us to where we are more than anything else, but it's not. It's the Dream 100. The Dream 100 is the foundation for our entire company. At ClickFunnels, we don't just leverage the Dream 100 approach for traffic, we use it for everything. Okay? Do you guys catch that when you read the forward? We use it for everything, okay? How do we pick what markets we want to go into? The Dream 100. We use Dream 100 to research different markets, niches, and narrow down the one that suits us best. How do we decide our blue ocean strategy? We use Dream 100 to find the red oceans and carve out our place in the market. How do we create our offers and figure out we're going to sell? We use Dream 100 to model offers that are working in our marketplace, which takes the headaches out of the hassle, out of blind guessing. Everything we've done has come off to mastering Dream 100 and specifically knowing how to complement as opposed to compete. That is how you build your foundation. Okay. From there, you just get traffic, again, tapping in Dream 100, and the rest is history. Okay. I want you to understand, like, when we're doing this, and I'm deciding what market to go into, or how do I destroy this market, how do I conquer the whole thing, my first goal is I have to understand the ecosystem. I had a guy who came into our coaching program. He's like, I'm going to be a real estate guru, and he's all excited, and he starts telling me, I'm like, cool. I'm like, well, who are all the people in your Dream 100? He's like, I don't know. I'm like, how about Robert Kiyosaki? He's like, who's that? I'm like, are you kidding me? You don't know. I'm like, how about this guy? And I named off like 30 different real estate gurus. He hadn't heard of any of them. I'm like, dude, you're going to get screwed. You're going to get destroyed. And he's all excited. Like, I'm going to teach people how to flip houses. Have you heard this before? I'm like, dude, that's what everybody, like, what? How in the world are, like, how do I know more about your market than you? Like, you get to, like, I envision, like, this is this, like, huge ecosystem I'm stepping into. And I need to come in there and be like, okay, that guy's teaching that. They're teaching this. They're doing that. And I understand, like, here's everything that's happening. So I have a really clear picture. And then I'm like, how am I different? Where do I carve out my space in this ecosystem? How do I create my very own category that I can control, that I can own? There's a really good book I have my entire team reading right now. It's called Playing Bigger. Have you guys read this book? Only like two people I've recommended it to. It's called Playing Bigger, and the whole concept of the book is about creating your own category, right? Which is very similar to what we talk about with like new opportunity and things like that. But if you look at any market, there's always like one category king in every single market, which sucks up like 90% of the business, and then everybody else fights over the last 10%, right? Look at us in the sales funnel world, right? Okay, we've sucked up 90% of all the business. We got all these little me-toos who are trying to compete for the last 10%, but we own the market. We are the category king, okay? Look at Apple. They are the category king of multiple things. They're the category king of phones. They're the category king of music. They're the category king of all these things, right? They suck up 90% of the business, and everyone else fights over the scraps, okay? For you, if you read that book that teaches you about category design, how do you design your category so you can be the person, okay? So I walk in the ecosystem. I'll look around and be like, which category hasn't been taken yet? If I come in and be like, oh, cool, they're flipping houses. I'm going to do that too. Then you're just another me too. In the best case scenario, if there's already a category king, you're fighting over the scraps with everybody else. So I'm walking this ecosystem, trying to find all the different players, all the people, everything that my dream customers are seeing right now, every single day in their news feeds. I want to get a very good perspective, and I can figure out how am I going to create my business. This is the whole foundation comes from that. Okay, so if you don't know yet, it's time to like start doing the research, start becoming intimate with your market. Okay, because if you don't know what all the different messages are bombarding who you're serving, trying to serve right now, it's going to be really, really difficult for you to compete in that world. Okay, but for me, I'm in there. I'm like, I know what everybody's talking about all the time. Okay, that's the key. So the first thing is like understanding that ecosystem, and then the second step that Dana talked about is like starting to dig your well before you're thirsty. Okay, you got to go in there and start figuring out, start building relationships, start sending packages, start sending gifts, and go to events, meet people like in your market, getting to know them, calling them on the phone, buying all their products, subscribing to their podcasts, and listening to them. Okay, I listen to conservatively. On the low end, an hour a day, some days 3 or 4 hours a day of podcast. People are like, Russell, like, what are you trying to learn in your podcast? Like, you trying to pick up the next marketing thing? I'm like, no. Okay? I know all the people in my ecosystem. I'm listening to what all of them are saying so I can have my finger on the pulse so I know what's happening. I know who's talking about what's happening, where they're going, what their ideas are, and so I can make sure that I can create and continue to dominate my category. And then I'm sitting there thinking, okay, well, JLD's talking about this, and over at Mixergy, Andrew Warner's talking about this. And I look at all these different people. And I'm like, cool. Now that I know where I fit in the ecosystem, I see what everybody else is doing. Now it's easy to be like, oh, man, me and JLD could do cool things. He's got Entrepreneur on Fire. What if he helped him like do a funnel thing with his people? And like now it's this really good compliment between us. Okay, I'm not competing with him, but I can compliment what we're doing. Any wrestlers in the room? A couple wrestlers. Okay, so in wrestling, just so you guys don't know, if you've never wrestled before, in wrestling, when we come, you know, those who don't see it, don't know what wrestling is, it's probably weird watching it, right? But I come out and I shake someone's hand initially, and we start the match, and we're head-to-head, right? So we're like, we're competing against each other. Now, the person who wins the wrestling match is not the person who just go head-to-head the best, right? Wrestling's all about angles. When we're out there, like, hand-fighting and doing all sorts of stuff, the goal, what I'm trying to do is try to get someone to step so I can get an angle on them, and then I can attack them, right? So I get them to step, it opens up a little hole, and then boom, I shoot, and I take them down. Okay, I'm finding my angle. It's the same thing in this Dream 100 stuff. I'm not going head to head with people. I'm looking at everything, building my own category and saying, cool, now this category, this thing that I control, that I own, I can partner with everybody on this now. Everybody fits in somehow because I've designed it the right way initially. Now all these people in the ecosystem become partners. We can compete, or we can complement each other as opposed to going head to head and competing. Okay? So you're figuring out this thing. So again, it's coming back to like figuring it out, consuming everybody's stuff, reading the blog posts, listening to the things, getting their emails, like watching what's happening, becoming intimate with your market. And at that point when you start approaching people, you can figure out exactly how what you do fits in with what they're doing. Okay? We may or may not be working on a really cool software product based around this whole concept. And what's really cool in this thing is you literally plug in your whole Dream 100, and then it has like a Facebook news feed of what all your Dream 100 is doing. So in the future, when this is live, you'll be able to log in and you'll see everything. Here's, oh, so-and-so posted a podcast, a blog post, and you'll see like a whole news feed of everyone in your Dream 100. Everything you're doing at all given times, you always have your fingers on the pulse of your market. Okay? But I can't tell you how important that is understanding those things. Okay? All right, so digging your well before you're thirsty. That's the first step. And like Dana said, that's how you start building relationships, serving people. How can you actually help these people? Not with the intention of them doing something, but ahead of time, doing stuff really nice for them, okay? When I first met Tony Robbins the very first time, how many of you guys thought when I saw Tony Robbins, I started licking my chops like, oh my gosh, if he promotes me, this is going to be the greatest thing in the world, right? Everyone does. And guess what happens? Everyone comes into Tony's world, they meet him for like 5 seconds, and they pitch him on the first thing that comes out of their mind, right? What happens to all those people? Tony, they disappear. They come off the thing. So what did I do instead? I met Tony. I was like, oh, this guy is amazing. I freaked out a little bit. And then and I was like, okay, how can I help get Tony's message out? I know that's what's most important to him. And for the next decade of my life, 10 years of my life, I went back trying to figure out how to serve Tony. I spoke at his events for free. I covered my own flights, my own hotels. I did helped new products. I did multiple consultations on the phone with his team members who were stuck at this and that, trying to help them and coach them. And for an entire decade, I helped and I served, never asked for anything once ever. Just did it. And then guess what happened 10 years later? Then I hired Kevin to come on our stage. I wrote him a huge check twice, come on our stages, a bunch of stuff like that. And then when my book came out, I was like, hey, Tony, I wrote another book. I'm so excited. I was like, is there any way you could do an interview with me on your Facebook page? And he was like, yes. I'm like, really? Okay. Did the interview, and we got 3.2 million people to watch the interview, sold thousands and thousands of books. But I didn't just come up to Tony day one, right? I was building a relationship. And so many good things came from that relationship. Tony introduced me to like 10 other people, introduced me to 10 other people. And like, if you come with like a serving attitude, just like Dana said yesterday, if you come with that serving attitude, it'll make you like one of the cool people in the marketplace to get passed around but to everybody. If you come in and you're like pitching people from day number one, nobody passes you around. Like, oh, that person just pitched me. Like, that guy's annoying. That person, like, beware of them all the time. Right? If you come in and just serve and give and do that kind of stuff, then I'm like, oh man, you should meet so-and-so and so-and-so. And I start plugging them into my network, and instantly you infiltrate the entire Dream 100. And again, if you've created your business in a spot where you're your own category king, now it's just like, what's the logical connection so we can all work together in this thing? And boom, everything grows up, blows up really, really fast. Okay? So dig your well before you're thirsty. All right. Now I've been doing this whole process, right? I've been mapping out my Dream 100. Is this a laser? Yeah. All right, here's a laser that you can't barely see. Okay, so I list out my Dream 100, and I write out all the different names of the people, right? Now they have the names of all the people, and I'm plugging into their stuff. I'm listening to them. I'm figuring out what they're doing. Now my goal is to figure out, of all these people, who are the people that I can buy my way in, and who are the people I can work my way in? Okay? So the two different things. How do I buy my way in, and how do I work my way in? Let me see if my next image is the one that explains this. It might be. Yeah. Okay. So I come over here, and let's say my Dream 100 on there, it's got a whole bunch of amazing people. Let's say there's Tony Robbins, there is John Lee Dumas, there's Andrew Warner, there's Richard Branson, like all my different people here, right? And so I go through, and let's say I'm listening to Andrew Warner's podcast, right? He's the guy that runs Mixergy. So I'm listening to his podcast, I'm like, cool. All right, so he interviews entrepreneurs, so that's cool. That means I potentially could work my way, and I could get on his show, do an interview, and like get him to spread the message. But he also has ads. So I could buy my way in as well, and I could buy ads on a show, right? I may listen to someone else. I'm like, oh man, they have a show and they don't interview people, but they do sell ads on it, right? Maybe I see a Facebook Live, or I'm looking at their email list. I'm looking at all the different communication channels, and I'm categorizing and say, okay, what are the people that I think I could work my way in to get them to do it for free, and who are the people who they're probably not going to work my way in, but I could buy my way in, right? Like for Tony Robbins, even though it took me a decade to get Tony Robbins to ever promote me. During the interim, guess what I did? I went to I targeted every Tony Robbins fan on Facebook, on YouTube, on Twitter, on Instagram, and we've been running ads to his entire, I've been buying my way into his network, buying ads to his people for the last 5 or 6 years, right? So just because Tony is not going to say yes to me or to most of us initially, because of the way the networks are set up, I can still buy ads in front of those things, right? So I'm always looking, can I buy my way in? Can I work my way in? And then the goal of both those things is to get them into to become traffic that I own, okay? I know when Dana is talking about Dream 100, his focus point is on working your way in, right? Getting on the shows, doing the JV, having them send an email to your list, those kind of things. That stuff's amazing. That stuff, it takes more effort, more time, but it's free, right? The other stuff costs more money. It's kind of like, how many of you guys have more time than money? How many of you have more money than time? Who has more time than money? Who has more money than time? Okay, so like, where do I focus that first, Russell? If you have more time than money, focus on working your way in. Try to get on the shows, do those things, get them to email, like build a relationship, you have more time. If you have more money, a lot of times it's easier to buy your way in. Okay? How many of you guys have a decade to try to like court Tony Robbins before you're gonna like drive traffic? It's a lot of work, right? But you can go tonight and go start running ads to all of his following. Okay, so it comes down to that. So if you don't have money yet and you're getting started, okay, focus on working your way in. How do I get it? Like, what are the people in my Dream 100 that have a platform that I can come into that I can leverage to get people to join my platform? That'd be my focal point, right? If it's like I'm busy, I have a bunch of things, like I just want to focus on like the other way, then just do the traffic control and buy your way in all those things. And ideally, you're going to be doing both. Let's see. It's funny, this is the first time I taught this, and there's all these things that are like, I know I'm going to talk about this later, but I need it for context for now, so I'm just trying to make sure I don't screw this up. Okay, yeah, I'll keep going from there. Okay, any questions about this part at all yet? Okay, so each step's kind of layering on top of each other. So we're finding our Dream 100, we're figuring out who we can buy our way in, who we can work our way in, with a goal, again, of transforming everything to our own platform and building our own platform, okay? All right, so that's how we start creating our dream customers. If you go back to the very beginning, we had three types of traffic, figuring out our dream customer's journey, who has our dream customers, and how do we get those dream customers from these other platforms and move them onto our platform. Get them on our list, have them listening to our podcast, have them, whatever the platform is you're trying to build, we're trying to use the Dream 100 to get their customers into the other ones. Just like Dana did right here with the goat feed yesterday, you had the empty one, and it's like all about like dumping a little bit in for every single person to build your platform. And the bigger your platform gets, the bigger platforms you can leverage, and it keeps growing like that. Okay? All right, so next phase here. Now I want to start shifting so you guys can understand distribution. So distribution is this game. This is how it works. Last night in the hotel room, I was watching Shark Tank. How many of you still watch Shark Tank? Cool. It's interesting, if you watch Shark Tank, if you look at how they all do their deals, like someone brings a deal to them, and when all the sharks, if you notice this in their heads, and they don't say it out loud, but as you listen to their questions and which deals they pick and they don't pick, this is all they're focusing on. Each of the sharks has a distribution channel that they understand, right? Lori's really good at QVC. Damon's really good at retail, right? Cuban's good at pretty much anyone because everyone thinks he's cool and he's plugged into whatever he wants, right? But everyone's got like a channel that they're really, really good at, a distribution channel. So the deal comes in and it's like a clothing line and all the other sharks are like, I'm out. And Damon's like, I'm in. Because he knows the distribution channel. He grabs the distribution channel, he plugs it in, and boom, the retail takes off, right? Lori, she's like, amazing deals come by and she's like, this won't work on QVC, it's out. Comes in, she's like, oh, I have a distribution channel. She takes the deal, plugs it in, boom, explodes overnight. Okay? So distribution is the key. That's why we're trying to build our own platform. Your own platform is your own distribution channel. It's the most valuable thing. Stephen Larson said yesterday, like, the most valuable thing in your business is your customer list. It's your distribution channel. Okay? That's the only thing. When all said and done, that's the only thing that matters. If you look at all the companies, the big tech companies that get bought and sold, like, it's all based on their distribution channel, right? Like, I remember when I first got started, the first time I ever saw a company get bought for over $1 billion was when eBay bought Skype. It was like, I don't know, $3 or $4 billion. And I was like, what? And I was thinking, like, I'm like, did they buy, like, Skype didn't have a business model at the time. They weren't making any money. And I'm like, eBay was like the biggest company back in the day. You guys remember back when eBay was like the most amazing thing, and all day long you're just trying to like snipe auctions all day? It was the company, right? Myron remembers. There was like sniper software where like 25,000 people all bid on one thing, and then the software just like buy at the last second, and it was it was really fun, huh? And then they ruined their business, and now it's got boring. But eBay bought Skype, and I was like, they had the best tech people on planet Earth. They could have cloned Skype in about a week, but they didn't do that. Why did they do it? Why did they spend billions of dollars instead? Because Skype had the distribution channel. They had the list. Okay? Why did Zuckerberg want to buy Snapchat? Because Snapchat had the distribution channel at the time. Why did he buy Instagram? Did the distribution channel. Like, you look at all the big acquisitions, it's not about the technology. Technology is easy to clone and to beat. It's because of the distribution channel. Like, that's the magic, right? Every business, if you look at the actual value, what they evaluate things on, it's the distribution channel. It's the list. So you start understanding that everything we're doing is like, who has distribution channels? Those are my Dream 100 partners, right? Now, I talked about the funnel hacking live. Some of you guys may remember me talking about this. Gary Vaynerchuk said something in a little clip that was super cool. He said, if you look at TV in 1965, it's the same thing that our phones are today. You guys remember me talking about this? Who were there? Okay. In 1965, there were only like three channels. There was ABC, CBS, and NBC. And it was funny, when I was talking to Tony Robbins, the first time I met him was over 10 years ago now. It was right after his company kind of like collapsed. And he was like trying to figure out the next step. That's when he met all the internet marketing nerds, and we kind of helped him with some stuff. But what was interesting, as I was talking to him about it, he said, look, he's like, when I got started, there were three channels. And he's like, if you flip to any channel, guess who's on every single commercial? This big, huge giant selling his stuff. He's like, it was easy. The distribution channel was three things. He's like, we just bought all the ads on every single channel, and I became Tony Robbins. He said, now what happened is distribution got fragmented. Cable came out, and all of a sudden there's like, not three channels, there's like 300 channels. And I can't buy them on all of them, and there's all these niche channels. I go over on ESPN and it doesn't convert for some reason. I go over here, it doesn't convert. And I ran out of money because I can't keep up with this whole distribution thing, right? It was really, really confusing. And so that's why they were struggling at the time. And so what Gary said, when he said that the phone is like TV 1965, for me it was just this huge aha. I'm like, this is the key. So if you look at this, back when TV first came out, the distribution was they got TVs into people's homes, right? Then there was the channels, ABC, CBS, NBC, and then on each channel were the different shows, okay? So that's what you have to understand. This is, like, these things kind of match what we're doing today. So today, this is the distribution channel, right? Our phones. I don't think I would always believe that, but 2 years ago in ClickFunnels, I mean, we used to see a lot of traffic, and prior to 2 years ago, the majority, it was like 60 to 70% of all traffic in our network came from desktop, and now it's flopped. Okay, the majority of the traffic coming across all 65,000 customer accounts, millions and millions and millions of visitors a day, the majority, it's like 60 to 70% is all coming through your phones. Okay, so this is the future. It's going to continue to grow. It's not going down. We were in Kenya hanging out with these kids, and none of them have computers, but guess what they all have? This, right? I guarantee you, as our kids get older, they're not going to have computers. Like, it's just, this is the thing, right? And so if you look at this, this is the phone 1965. There are a lot of different apps, but if you look at the apps that it's again the category king, right? The apps that take up like 90% of all the bandwidth on the phone are a couple things, right? It's the Facebook app, it's the Messenger app, it's Instagram, it's YouTube, it's Pinterest for some people. Like, there's only five or six apps, and that's it. And so for us, you have to understand, like, everyone's got the phones, right? The first, just like the TVs has been done. The apps are there. They already have billions of people on the core apps that are there. So the job that we have right now, just like back here, is for us to become Happy Days or The Tonight Show or whatever. Like, we need to be building our own show on these platforms, okay? And that's the big aha. That's understands distribution. So these things are in people's hands. The channels are already there. We just have to create our own shows and build the distribution. It's easier today than it's ever been because everyone's got the phone, and there's nothing like back in the day you had to get, you know, NBC to decide your show's awesome. Today, any of us can start a show. You just click a button and boom, your platform is live. Okay? So it's understanding the distribution right there. Hey guys, thanks so much for listening to day number two, session number two, I should say. Hopefully you're enjoying this so far. All right, tomorrow I will release the last of the three-part series here for my presentation, Dream 100 Con. Guys, this is the foundation for all traffic. I hope you are getting excited by it. And hopefully you're getting pumped for the Traffic Seekers book that'll be coming out later next year. I don't want to say my only goal in this is to cause massive FOMO, but I'm not going to lie. I want to cause massive FOMO for the book because I'm working my butt off on it. And so I figure if I got to work this hard, then you need to desire the book as much as possible. So just remember, this is scratching the surface of what will be happening inside the Traffic Seekers book. Hope you're enjoying it, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.
Want more marketing secrets? If so, then go get your copies of my two best-selling books. Book number one is called Expert Secrets, and you can get a free copy at expertsecrets.com. And book number two is called .com Secrets, and you can get your free copy at .comsecrets.com. Inside these two books, you'll find my top 35 secrets that we've used to become the fastest-growing non-VC-backed SaaS startup company in the world.